Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with actor, writer and comedian Stephen Mangan. Well, Stephen, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. Great to have you on.
Thank you very much.
It's getting pretty close to London now, isn't it? So you're getting a bit nervous about what's to come.
It's brutally close, and it's a time of regret for me. a time of looking at my life and asking where I've gone wrong.
Yeah. Oh, he sounds like it's gone really well.
It was going so well until about 8 weeks before the race, which some may say is the time when you really need to kick on. I've done all sorts of stuff, because I do a show called Landscape Artist of the Year, and we travel around the UK watching people paint.
Yeah.
And I always take my running gear with me and always go for a run. So this year we were shooting near Snowdon. So I ran up and down Snowdon.
Oh, lovely.
Which was fantastic. That's quite an interesting run.
Yeah.
Quite busy.
Yeah.
Sort of elbowing people out the way up.
Did you go up the pig and down the mine?
I went up the main bit where everybody was. It's called the Llanberis Pass.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't try anything. There were no crampons involved.
there is a ridge, isn't there? I think it's called Crib Goch.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I was thinking of running from where we were staying. So that was like a 15K run to the base.
Okay.
So run up and down, then run back.
Yeah.
And then I thought, calm down.
I've got work to do.
Calm down. Things were going really well. But it's just slightly dropped off a cliff in the last 6 weeks. But, you know, there we go.
Is that just because you've been like busy and...
It's a lot of things. I've just come back from 10 days in the Australian tropical northern bit of Queensland.
Oh, nice.
Filming a show called World's Most Dangerous Roads. I've been over there for 10 days or 2 weeks, and we were filming from dawn till dusk.
Right.
And it's one of those places, Australia's one of those places where everything can kill you.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, there's something that can kill you. In fact, I went on a run, one of my first mornings there, to sort of get over your jet lag morning, and there was a 12-foot snake lying at the side of the road, which got my heartbeat.
Yeah.
So most of the time we were filming dawn till dusk, so it just meant I wasn't going to go for a run in the park.
No, on a dangerous road.
on a famously dangerous road.
With extreme heat, you know.
Yeah.
So that didn't help. And then school holidays and kids away, and it was a very hot summer.
Mm.
So, you know, that didn't really help. I mean, the people, I think the April marathon date was always a good one, because I know we moan about going out in the rain and cold, but it's better than going out, for me anyway,
I prefer that
to going out in boiling hot
weather.
And of course there's also a lot more people around when it's boiling and hot.
Yeah.
So yeah, just one thing or another, badly timed illnesses. Yes, I mean, I think you set out for every marathon campaign, don't you? This is the one.
Full of hope.
Oh, this is the one. I'm going to be so organised. I'm going to use science.
Oh.
I'm going to think about my training. I'm going to do it diligently, because it's, you know, that's the key to success. And then just one by one.
Yeah. Reality bites.
Chuck that science out the window.
I think it's also that it's a period of maranoia, I've heard. It's the medical term for this, where things that feel like they're going wrong that maybe you would sort of shrug off, you know, if it was 2 months beforehand.
Yeah, you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night going, I don't know what pace I'm aiming for. Everyone says, you know, do the first couple of play or miles slightly slower, and then, you know, negative splits and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
get
settled into your marathon pace. I'm like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is yet. Help. So it could be anything. I'm looking at a very wide range of options.
Are you not going to attempt to break your previous effort?
Well, my previous effort, which was 20 years. I was just, I think, 29 or 30. So it would have been about 24, 5 years ago. My only London Marathon, 3:33. And that was part of the goal for running it this time, was I feel the same.
Mm.
I don't look that different. Why can't I run the same time?
Yeah.
Why can't I prove to the world and myself that I am the same human being as I was 25 years ago? No.
it's those
calculators you can look up that tell you
your age-graded health or whatever.
Age-graded calculators. Yeah. And I looked that up, and 333 is something like, for my age, now an equivalent run would be 403 or something.
Okay, yeah.
Which was really depressing.
Yeah, I mean, running does seem to be one of those things that you can remain good at, you know, compared to like gymnastics or something.
Yeah.
You can run really good times in your 50s and 60s.
Well, that's the plan, but yeah, so that was the original goal, was to try and equal that time.
Yeah. Maybe 4:44 or 5:55. You could stick to that kind of.
Yeah,
2:22 is probably not going to happen, is it? But
yeah, they're running 4:44 in 8:80. Yeah. No, it. So there we go. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. It was one of the greatest days of my life. Actually, the first.
Mm.
You spend so long working towards it. You spend so long thinking about it and training for it, and you're nervous about it. You don't know how it's going to go. And then on the day, that combination of something that you achieve, and just you, no one else has run that distance, you've managed to do it on your own, coupled with the most incredible outpouring of sort of, you know, fellow man.
Yeah.
You know, people lining the streets, cheering you on, all the other runners sort of helping each other out. It's really moving and great, you know, because you don't often... when else are you in, I mean, we've just had the royal funeral.
And yeah.
Obviously, that was probably a similar kind of outpouring if we're all here for the same purpose. I mean, in a very different way. Obviously.
Yeah.
But how often do you get that in modern life? You don't really ever get it.
Yeah, it's a unique day, isn't it? And I think...
Totally unique.
In what can be quite a cynical city.
Yeah.
It's the least cynical day in the world, London Marathon. People are genuinely cheering strangers on, and it's an amazing thing to be part of.
Yeah. And going down another years and cheering other mates on, it really brings a... It genuinely brings a tear to your eyes.
Yeah, it really does.
See all these people of all different shapes and sizes, all ages, ranges of ability, you know, really putting themselves through it. And then hundreds of people, thousands of people, tens of thousands probably, cheering them on on the route. It's a total joy.
Yeah, it's also very dangerous. Because you get there and you witness it and you're signing up for things before you've even thought about it.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was a great day. I'm going to sign up for another one. And then, no.
Luckily, you can't actually walk to it. If there was a desk for signing up, I wouldn't be able to walk to it afterwards. So even if it was 8 miles away,
that's true.
I wouldn't be able to make it. The body seizes up, doesn't it? Blimey.
So, Stephen, how did you actually get into running in the first place?
That's a good question, because some days I wonder why I do it. Actually, not very often. I don't know why I said that. I love running. I mean, I got into it. I did a bit at school. I ended up in my cross-country team. And I was never particularly great at it, but I don't know. It was something about it, the simplicity of it, and those days when it all clicks and you feel like superhuman. Really amazing moments that you can... I mean, I can remember football goals I scored when I was 8 or 9 in the playground in great detail. I can also remember days when it just sort of clicked as a runner and you felt great and you were out there.
Yeah.
And you felt you could sort of, you know, fly up anything or beat anybody. But I sort of did it at school, and then I dropped it really until my 30s probably, or late 20s. And I think it was maybe being asked to do the marathon that got me into it. And I thought, I'll try and do that. You run a mile or two and you're just standing at the side of the road wheezing. You're awful. You can't believe that one day you'll be able to run further than that. And I think it got its hooks into me. And when it does, you're sort of lost, aren't you then? Because, you know, it's just something... that becomes part of what you do. I mean, I do have a kind of all or nothing personality. So
right.
I will either be training every day and, or not every day, but you're training a lot. You run 5 or 6 times a week and really into it. Or I will fall into a vat of red wine and
cheese
and balloon.
That's a perfect balance.
That's
great.
So I sort of swing between the two. I suppose that was it. I am... a school thing that then sort of got rediscovered.
But it's been pretty constant since then.
It's got, like I said, it's gone on and off, but yes, I mean, I I'm a great one for, I'm very, you know, what they would call goal orientated. So if I know I need a bit of a kick up the backside with my fitness, I will enter a race.
Yeah.
So there was a sort of actors running sort of thing for a while. We used to go and run over, you know, we did the Great North Run,
right.
Great South Run.
Yeah.
You jump on a coach and
yeah.
you'd be ushered to the front of the queue and you'd feel very special and yeah. excited. I've did the Great North Run once, which started on dual carriageway. I don't know if it does that everywhere. It started on dual.
I've never done it. Have you done it?
Yeah, I think it still does start on an A road or dual carriageway.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had all the elite men's runners on one side.
Yeah.
And then promise us celebs on the other. And I got so giddy and excited. Everyone who's run a race will know this.
Yeah.
You get overexcited and you take off too quickly. But I think
keeping pace with Mo.
I almost did for a while, and then just ran out of juice after about 3K. But yeah, so there was a sort of way, an easy way to kind of do some running. And there's I live in central London, so there's a Regent's Park 10K once a month.
Yeah, yeah.
I do that fairly often. Things like that. So, yeah, you know, I think a race really helps me to focus, because otherwise it can feel that choice that day when you wake up and it's raining and it's horizontal.
Yeah.
You know, sleep.
Yeah. You don't want to do it.
A race looming always helps.
Oh, for sure. It keeps you honest, doesn't it?
Keeps you honest.
Yeah. I need to, go to cover this distance at a reasonable time. You're also raising money for Marie Curie.
Yeah.
Can we talk about why you chose that charity and the kind of motivation that that gives you as well?
Yeah, I've known them for a while, a long time actually. Both my parents died of cancer, and both were looked after by Marie Curie nurses in their sort of final few days. So I know firsthand what an incredible service they provide. You know, just to the point where everyone has recognised that the end is coming.
Mm.
It's a really overwhelming and difficult moment. And what they do is they provide nurses to come at night to your house, so, you know, that the patient can be at home and die at home rather than the hospital. And they're also there to help answer questions and all the millions of things you don't understand and are confused about. So they were there for my mum and dad. They don't get any government funding. They have to raise all their money themselves.
Mm.
And I'm an ambassador for them now. So, yeah, it was a really easy decision to run for them. Mum died a long time ago. His mum died 31 years ago. But dad did sort of come and watch a bit of my exploits. Saw me do a few triathlons and a bit of running. So, that was always very motivating to know that your dad, mile 21,
it's got to look good.
You didn't want to be taken by someone dressed as Big Ben at that point. You know, you did want to be looking good and kind of. I'll do it for the charity. I'll do it for my parents, and hopefully we can raise some money.
That's great. We've had writers, actors on before, and we've talked to them about how the running either sort of like complements or doesn't the creative process when they're going through building, writing scripts or things like that. Is it something that you use? Do you have like good ideas when you're out on a run, or is it something that you do to just ignore all of the day to day and kind of?
No, I find it's, I've never meditated, but I imagine it's probably a bit like that, in that it's a way of kind of blanking your mind in a way, like stopping from consciously thinking about stuff. And I don't listen to music. I do listen to podcasts sometimes, but I don't listen to music. And when I run with nothing going on in my ear, apart from the split times, every kilometre, just to let me know how well or badly I'm doing, I find that the things that are bothering me in life, let alone in work, sort of slowly filter to the surface. So you'll just start to subconsciously just pick away at the things that are bothering you.
Mm.
And because I think most creative people are quite obsessive about what they do, that is often the film or the play or the TV show that I'm in or write. So, I do definitely is a space. I mean, I think we are so bad now at creating that space in general because of phones and because there's a million ways to listen to stuff or watch stuff.
Yeah.
Whether you're on the tube or, you know, any moment of your life, you can have something going on.
Yeah.
There isn't much time when you just let your brain go where it wants to go.
Yeah,
definitely.
So running is for me definitely that time.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you have, like, a lot of tech with you? Are you a tech kind of guy?
Do I have tech? I don't know. Do I have a lot? I've got two watches.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
I still carry my phone in a, you know...
An emergency parental sense or something.
I don't trust my watch to... I haven't quite moved from phone recording of data to the watch. So I sort of bring everything with me. Just
it sounds,
It's a lot of tech, isn't it?
And then I've got the old non-in-ear, the jawbone
Of a headphone. Conductive.
So I don't get run over.
Yeah.
Conductive headphones. So is that a lot?
Yeah, I think that's quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah. mean,
yeah. It's more than like...
Most people have a watch.
Just a Casio. Just having a Casio.
Just some shoes for the wind. And
it's funny because Ben and I are like very much diverge on this. So I think I'm wearing my running watch here, which is this lovely yellow Casio. Wow. Because I'm like, I don't want to know how quickly I'm going. I feel like it's...
Okay, so your body tells you.
Well, and I can lie to myself.
Right.
He's also very fast, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's a different sphere of existence. If you're slow and you don't know, and then you're just always slow. Whereas Rick
are
can
you
just...
actually wearing a Casio? I am. Maybe I'm sort of having an influence over you.
Right, I know, but I'm also constantly monitoring my heart rate. So just...
I've noticed there's nothing to you. Look at you. There's no fat on you at all. You're sort of very svelte.
Yeah, that helps, I think, being light. Being light helps,
I mean, the amount of extra kg I'm carrying around is ridiculous.
Some of that's the tech. Well, some of that is the tech,
But if I could just only lose... Maybe 10 kg.
Yeah.
Who knows what's possible?
Who knows what's possible?
This is it.
Do you have a favourite place to run? Do you like running in London, or do you like getting out to like Snowdon and a place like that?
I don't mind running in London. I kind of it took me. I used to run round and round the outer circle of Regent's Park.
Okay. Yeah.
Rather depressing.
Well, like not in the park.
No, the road.
In the park.
Wow.
And it's also got a slight camber. You end up with one leg longer than the other.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so a friend of mine pointed out that there were other places in London to run.
Yeah.
And just kind of sort of, because I knew the length of it as well.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Before, you know, when I started.
Yeah.
Before.
Like GPS and stuff.
GPS and measuring devices. I knew exactly how much that was. So I would just run around and around it, occasionally going down to Hyde Park and running around and around Hyde Park.
Yeah.
It took me a while to discover the Regent's Canal, which is... You know, fantastic.
Yes.
Not only do you not have to stop every 6 minutes at traffic lights, it also doesn't feel like you're in the middle of the city. You are, you know, considering I live in, you know, NW1,
right
in the centre, you are suddenly in this whole other sphere. There's water. You know, you run one way towards sort of Wembley, you can run out west.
Right. Yeah.
And then a very different feeling through Camden Market, King's Cross, Islington.
Yeah.
Hackney, you know, to short, you know, to Limehouse that way.
Yes.
Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, when I'm in London, that's what I, and then of course the heat as well, which took me a long time, which is not that far from me. It's only a mile and a bit.
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic place to run.
Oh yeah.
Especially for hills.
Yeah, it's not flat, is it?
But it really is not flat.
Yeah.
But it's big enough that it feels like it's not running around Regent's Park for 5 years. But my favourite, I think my favourite place is getting out and about. And in fact, you know, working in various places throughout the UK, things like Landscape Artist of the Year, or if we're filming, it's such a great way to see where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to get to know, because, you know, have them drive around, and you don't tend to do that when you go to somewhere, but to get a pair of running shoes on, go for running for an hour or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You suddenly get to
definitely
see,
discover a place.
You really discover a place. And I sort of love that. I've also run in the west coast of Ireland. My family are from the west coast of Ireland. And I love running. I mean, the wind is brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. In fact, I did a triathlon there a few years ago. And the run, the 10K, was across sand at the end.
Oh, lovely. That red rum.
Because the swim was in the bay, which was hard enough.
Yeah.
My direction control is terrible. So I'd look up after 10 minutes and everyone else would be 60 yards in a different direction.
Yeah.
So I sort of zigzagged my way through. But the run, was into the wind mostly. And
on sand?
On sand.
Wow, lovely. Lovely way to finish.
Absolutely. Horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to, at triathlons, jump off your bike or jump out of the, you know, water and get your transition down to the absolute, you know, shave second.
Yeah,
I wanted to sit down and have a cup of tea. I was actually destroyed. I don't care about my time.
Tell you what, there's an event near you. It's probably a bit off topic, actually, but it's called The Swimmer. Have you heard of it?
No.
So it starts in Hampstead Heath, and it joins all the outdoor swimming spots in London sort of by foot. So you end up running about 13 miles, but it goes Heath, then sort of Serpentine, and it ends up in Brockwell Lido down in Herne Hill. Yeah, really nice bunch of people, but yeah, worth having an explore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swimming is the thing I find most peculiar. I don't understand swimming. I really had to force myself to do it. It's funny how you have one thing that you just get, isn't it? Because I got a lot of my mates are really into cycling.
Yeah.
Just running just feels
like
the thing.
Yeah. I think you have that with exercise, don't you? You do find a kind of home somewhere.
Yeah.
And actually, I found out about running. It felt natural.
Just right, lycra and cycling.
Yeah.
It's just...
I mean, you like a bit of
lycra. I love a bit of lycra. Oh.
Just pull your kids down.
Yeah. See, because I found cycling before running.
Oh, I see.
So that's my thing. And then I got into the running bit through triathlon.
Right.
And realised, if I want to do this, I've got to do some running.
I've got to go and work for run as well.
And then it all went really out of control. Just got really out of my depth and ended up here. So, I think I'm on the opposite. I find running constantly difficult, which fascinates me.
Right.
I kind of think the challenge of it. And those moments that you strive for when you're like, I'm flying.
Yeah.
This is the best feeling I've ever had. And it's just, you get it on the bike, but you're obviously using a machine and it's kind of, when you're running and it's running really well and you're like,
I went to the Hay Festival this summer and took my gear with me. And then the morning after I did my sort of talk, ran up, I can't remember what it's called now, but it's quite a big old hill, big old climb.
Yeah.
I got to the top and I ran along the top. And as I was running on the top, this wave of euphoria, I mean, it was just incredible.
It's visceral, right?
It's kind of, I just felt unbeatable. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
But for those few moments, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's what keeps you coming back, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. The promise is that's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Maybe it will happen in London.
Maybe it will.
Who knows? You might have one of those races.
Maybe it will. It's like clock 2:59.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
What does a running week, is it? Do you have a kind of set routine, or is it very difficult with your job to actually stick to, like...
It's very difficult to stick to it. I can't. And also, it's just having a young family.
Yeah.
My youngest is 6. So the 3-hour Sunday morning run is just not an option for me. I try to do a long run. If I do a long run, it's normally on a Monday, but it could be any day. It's big chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah. Okay.
I do it when I can.
Not just me and Ben.
I mean, I had a long run last Wednesday, and then I went to Italy on Thursday morning, and I got back... on Sunday night, And I thought, I better do another long run on a Monday because it's the last long one I'll do before the marathon in 2 weeks. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of like, okay, I did a fast, you know, track work a few 3 days ago. So those brilliant runners' guides you produce, I look at them longingly.
It's interesting because runners are such like creatures of habit.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of, especially in the training block, it becomes like all consuming.
Yeah.
So it's, and there's a lot of like habitual security in that, isn't there? Like people are like, oh, no.
Tuesday's the fun.
Oh, yeah, and you do it. But I mean, it sounds.
That's what brings on the anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it feel like a real, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I imagine if you follow those, you know, those, if you have a really set routine and you do your long runs and you do your, you must be within pretty tight margin knowing what you're going to run.
Yes. I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah. Like I said, I reckon I've got a half hour range.
Yeah. That's good though.
It's fine.
Either way.
Yeah. It's a buffer. It's fine.
It's a real buffer.
It's a buffer.
As a writer, Steve, do you read running books and do you see yourself ever writing a kind of show about running? Do you think it has that potential in it?
It's a difficult one because it's so interior, I think, running. And also just filming running is difficult.
It's boring.
It's really boring. I did a film, I played a runner, and really you just have some wistful shots of them running up a mount over a hill or...
Yeah.
What else can you do? You can't really... You know, film someone from mile after mile.
Sure.
So just technically, it's a really tricky one to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even films like about swimming, for example, it all has to take place outside the pool. You know, so around the idea of running, possibly. I mean, it's like I said, it's quite interior, it's quite personal. It's not, I mean, drama is conflict. You know, where the conflict tends to be with yourself
and
your own... Mm. Either your aging body or your lack of organisation or, you know, you're just how much talent you have or how much time you have, etc. So, I don't know. It's an interesting one. Books about running, I don't tend to read that many books about running, again, because I feel it's such a personal thing. I listened again to what I talk about when I talk about running
the
other day.
Yeah.
I listened to the audiobook of that while I was running. It's getting really...
Meta.
And I do buy occasionally books about running, and then I tend to read them. I've got a thing at the moment for crazy climbing documentaries.
Yes. Like the kind of the Dawn Wall or something.
Dawn Wall and Free Solo and absolutely ridiculous things that people do. Maybe it's because I can run a marathon. I know I can't run it in 2 hours and 5 minutes, but I can run it.
Yeah.
So it's not so much of an imaginative leap.
Okay. Yeah.
To see, you know, if you're naturally talented and gifted and have that crazy lung capacity and desire and the rest of it, I could see how you could be that person.
Mm.
You know, I never will be.
Yeah.
I never come close to it. I wouldn't even keep up with those guys for 400 meters, I think, in America.
No.
But I think I'm more fascinated, I think, by people who do stuff that I just can't.
Sort of fathom.
Can't fathom.
Yeah.
Trying to unpick that and what's going on with them.
Yeah.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Good luck at London.
Thank you.
I think just do some like really, really long, hard sessions now.
Now.
In the final 2 weeks.
Race, put in 70 mile week before the race.
Yeah, perfect. We don't normally tend to advise it, but I think if that's
special case,
clutching its straws sort of situation,
I mean, there must be a sort of actor's lane I can run only half a marathon, but you come out the same finish.
I think we can sort that out. Yeah, it's fine.
We'll be there cheering you on anyway. We'll look out for you.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.